I've been introduced myself. I'm Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are continuing our sermon series called The Center. And the center of all things that we find is in Jesus. And so we're telling this story. We're going into the book of Mark, and in this story, Mark is what we come to find. Peter, who's Jesus's disciple, his right-hand man, who gets to see everything that Jesus does, he's telling these stories to Mark, and Mark's writing them down. And here, 2,000 years later, we have these stories and get to hear about them and read about them and share this morning. So we find this morning, we're going to look at what's called the parable of the sower. And the subtitle today is Get Rich or Die Trying. That's where we're going. And, you know, 50 Cent, he's coming in here. But here's really where we're going with that. And I think it was funny, the first service laughed at Get Rich or Die Trying, but I don't think they knew who 50 Cent was. So that's all right. That's all right. But where we're going, we all make investments in life. And really, at the end of our life, we want to know, are we making the right investment? If we're going to put our life, our money, our wealth into things, into making investment, is it a good investment? And so today we're going to answer that question. We're going to see that a good investment should have a good return. And we're going to see that in this story. So if you can turn your book and your Bible, turn it to, if you don't have a Bible, we've got them in front of you. We call it our Big Blues. Reach down, you can get it. I think it's around 8:15. Someone shout it out if it's different. 8:14, there we go. And people are on it quick. I love it. So Mark 4, we're going to go here. And this is God's word. And if you don't, you can't find a big blue, we'll have it up on the screen for you. Jesus began, in verse 1, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat it out on the lake, and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables in his teaching and said, just a little hint right there where it says on the shore, that word is actually in the original language, soil. So the people are where the ground is, the soil is. And so that's where we're going to enter in. That's where we're entering in, this soil. Verse 3 says this, listen, this is Jesus speaking. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still, another seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. As we're coming into church, often we can show up to church. And so if you're with us today, some of you might be exploring who Jesus is, and we're so glad that you're here. Showing up to church, you don't have to be a Christian to be at church. And the same thing goes, showing up and saying, man, I've been to church my whole life. Going to church does not make you Christian. Just like going to Pizza Hut doesn't make you a pizza or a hut, right? You just go. And same thing we're talking today, we're talking about investing. Going to the bank doesn't make you rich. You have to invest. You have to put something in the bank. Shocker, right? But really, what we're seeing here today, how do we make this good investment? And really what I want us to look at first is the soils. Because the people, Jesus, a large crowd is gathering, and they've gathered on the soil. And so that's where you and I find ourselves this morning. We're here and we're on the soil. And that's, he explains four different soils. I want to jump to the last one, which is the good soil. And then we can work our way a little bit back and see. And the good soil has three different things that he characterizes in there. He says, because later on, so we just have the story here. And then picking up in verse 13 through 20, he explains what all of these, what the parable means. I won't read all of that for us here this morning, but he goes on to explain three things in verse 20, if you want to look at it. He says, others, like seed sown on good soil, they do three things. They hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times. So they hear it, they accept it, and they produce a crop. So that's what good soil is. And it's so interesting. What we really find in the scriptures is the good news of the Bible is that who produces this crop is God. God is the one that gives the growth. I love 1 Corinthians 3:7 that says, neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but God is the one that gives the growth. God is the one that gives the growth. And so that's where we find that hearing it, accepting it, and then acting on it. So it isn't just simply by performance and you acting doesn't make you more Christian. Being Christian is relying on God and his strength and his ability to manage the soil. So that's a basic understanding that we have to have as we approach this text. So let's look at the first three soils though. The first soil is a footpath and a path that is heavily treaded on. And isn't that life sometimes? As you go on, think of a footpath. It's walked on, the dirt becomes compacted and it's hardened, and not much growth can go on there. And that's really life, because life gets tough. As you get older and older, sometimes you just realize that the world isn't a nice place. And so you can get bitter and you can get angry and hardened. Your heart can get hardened towards the world. And what does that say? When a seed comes, the farmer's out scattering seed on all these different soils. And what it says is that the seed, Jesus goes on to explain this in verse 15. He says, some people are like seed along the path where the seed is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. He takes away the word that was sown because it didn't really sink in. We can hear it, but not accept it. It doesn't take root into our hearts. And because sometimes, why? Because life is difficult. Life can feel like a footpath and just walking on. Very similar in the story or the soil of the second one, the rocky path. So in the rocky one, the seed goes on it, but because the soil is shallow, it springs up quickly, and when the sun comes out, it scorches it, and it dies. So it's one, Jesus explains, this is one that somebody accepts God's word. Maybe they hear it and say, I believe, but they don't really accept it and live it out. They don't have deep, deep roots. And so when the sun comes, it dies. It doesn't have good roots to soak up that water, to soak up the nutrients. And really, you and I, we need those deep roots. We need deep roots in our lives in order so we don't get burned. And really, my encouragement for us this morning is that you would find ways to grow. We have so many ways here at Wilshire for you to develop deep roots. One is just by continuing to come here, and the way we get strengthened and get roots is God's word. Because that's actually what Jesus is saying. These seeds that are going out is God's word. It's his word, the good news, the gospel that goes out and plants in our hearts. So coming on Sunday, Bible studies that are up throughout the campus, learning, and there's classes that we can point you to. And then a life group. If you're not in a life group, I encourage you to get in a life group, because sometimes when you have life's challenges come your way, and you can just sit there with somebody else and they can just cry with you and weep with you and remind you of God's love. Because really that is part of our job in Christianity, is to remind each other of the hope that we have. We need to encourage each other, plant seeds of optimism and seeds of encouragement in each other's life, not simply just for optimism's sake or simply just, hey, let me just give you a good pat on the back. But because we trust in the center of our lives is Jesus, and we need to remind each other of that. So the other day, I was driving down to the airport and took Uber. It was funny, even the first service, I had to like explain Uber. I was like, this crowd, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'm taking the Uber and I'm with the driver, and we're just talking. We're talking everything. You know, treating people, any person you come into contact with, it's not always to try and evangelize them or convert them, but treating each person with human dignity. So if you're maybe taking an Uber, instead of just being on your iPhone and headphones in, ignoring them, get to know the person's name. What's their life story? How can you pray for them? And so just doing this and trying to practice that, I'm not perfect at it. I'd say on the way back, coming home from the airport, the windows were down, like, oh, it's too loud. I don't have to talk to this person. So I found an excuse. So it's something I'm still working on. But so I'm driving down to the airport. I'm just getting to know this lady's name and getting to hear her life story. And so we're talking everything, life, school, politics, and politics, right? Boom. But no, it was good because she started to just express that she's worried. And she tells me, I'm concerned. I'm worried about my own safety and my family's safety. And concerned about the way our government's going. And then I just kind of listened and got to hear this and then got to share some of my perspective. I said, you know, as a Christian, I didn't drop the pastor card. I didn't like, well, I'm a pastor. Let me preach. Let me tell you. Just simply, as a Christian, let me tell you what I think. I think God calls me to be concerned about politics, to be active, to learn what's going on in our society, to vote, and to pay attention. But the one thing I don't do is worry. Because I trust, and I'm putting my hope in one who has it all together. These two candidates will not solve our world's problems. We put our hope in Jesus, who will, where our hope, our eternity, our life is in his hands forever. He is the good father that will take care of us. He is our king. He is our president. These presidents won't solve our problems, but there's one who will. And there's one who actually has your good. He wants to take care of you and wants to nurture you and your family, not only for now, but for eternity. No candidate has that in mind. No candidate has your well-being in mind like Jesus does. And that's where we put our hope. Because we shared this last week, when Jesus was alive, Caesar Augustus was king. And man, and all of the kings and rulers after that, Christians were killed. Christians were martyred often, yet that did not stop them because of God's love and their security in God's love for them. I mean, we're worried sometimes as Christians, well, are certain tax things going to be taken away? Are we going to be allowed to preach about Jesus freely? And are the church doors going to shut? Even if they shut these church doors, nothing is going to stop this message. We'll just all meet at my house. we'll do something. There's nothing that's going to stop God's word. And so we don't need to worry in the news. We can fight for these things, but we don't need to worry. Because here's what happens in this. The seed that's sown on rocky places is very similar to the thorns and thistles that in verse 18, take a look. It says, as still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this world will choke the seed out and making it unfruitful. We, you and I, and so this lady, my Uber driver, she was saying, and I'm just going to keep her name private, but she said, you know what? I believe in Jesus too. And you're right. I don't need to worry. God has me in mind. God has, he is my hope. And so it was just that simple little encouragement. And she was like, I'm going to go home and share that with my family and my kids. That Jesus, and so I encouraged her as we left, and I want you to pray, and pray for our candidates, and pray. But it was like life was given in her life, and it wasn't anything I said, because I could just encourage her, and that's fine, but it's God's word, it's God knowing Jesus, who can give life, and that the worries of this world don't need to choke us out. They don't need to choke it out. And so as Christians, we need to encourage each other and remind each other of the hope that we have because the rest of the news in society will choke you out and get you discouraged and just say, you can't do it. Your life's a mess. There is no hope. Our country's a mess. Yet we need to say, no, you have a king. You have a president. You don't need to worry. Yes, fight for these things. Shifting a little bit, as we remember, so if we're talking about a good investment should have a good return. God is in the business of a good return. And you'll see in this passage, it's actually very interesting that it's almost set up for not a good investment. But let me mention right here first on the good return. Jesus says that he wants to come, and he says in the good soil, a crop will be produced. And it's what? 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. 30, 60, 100. This huge abundance will come out. Let me tell this little story. In 1994, true story, this guy named Jeff decided that he was going to start an internet company. And a lot of you know this is before kind of the internet bubble and just everything popped, like the dot-com bubble. And so he decided, hey, I want to start this little company, and we're going to sell lots of things. We're going to sell books. And so he decided in order to get this company off the ground, he needed investors. He had his parents invested, he invested, but he still needed about $1 million. And so he gathered up about 20 to 22 investors, and they just were buying portions of the company. And these 20 to 22 investors owned a stake of 20% of the company. And this one specific investor had invested in a lot of things, and his family was kind of in a difficult situation, but he said, you know what, I believe in this company, and I'm going to invest in it, $50,000, all in. Turns out, this small Jeff, you might have heard of this guy, Jeff Bezos, a little company called Amazon, might have heard of him. So this $50,000 investment in 1994, these people didn't sell any of their shares and held on to it and they weren't diluted, that little $50,000 would be worth $3.5 billion today. $3.5 billion. Some of you are thinking, man, where's the next Amazon, right? Come on. But let me tell you this. The kingdom is a far greater investment than a return far greater than $50,000 going to $3.5 billion. Because when we share the word of God, life, words that give life to a soul for eternity. Think of the days, although you die, you will not die. The hope that we have in Jesus, that he's taking care of you. And that return, just by accepting that word, hearing it, and producing fruit, you have the opportunity to have your whole life changed. You have the opportunity to change others' lives. And that's what God calls us to do, to share this good news, because it is far greater, a far better return, a far better investment than investing in Amazon from day one. And here's the type of things, as we are called to share this investment and to share it and let it spread, share this good news, we see that just the value of one in the kingdom, the value of one single soul in the kingdom. Because if you're taking notes, I might have skipped the first one. That's necessary groundwork before investing. But the second one, so just kind of rooting, doing the work in the soil. The second one is that grace does not discriminate. Grace does not discriminate. The value of one is eternal. Jesus gives this story in Luke 15. He's saying there's a shepherd who's looking after his flock. There's 100 sheep, and all of a sudden one goes missing. And so what does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and he goes back for the one. Grace doesn't say, oh, we've got 99. We've done a pretty good job. That's an A+. But grace says no. Grace doesn't discriminate, and it goes for even the one lost. the infinite value of that one, because in the story in Luke 15, that the shepherd goes out, leaves the 99, puts the sheep on his shoulders, and comes back and throws a party and says, I found the lost sheep. The infinite value of finding the lost sheep. And so our job is to pray, and our job is to cry out and to look for those who are marginalized and oppressed and share God's love with them. In the past several weeks, or last Sunday, we were talking about praying. And so if you want others to come and to know Jesus, that you want our city to have hope, we read in Jeremiah 29:7. And we even have this out here. We encourage a lot of you to come out and walk. And we just got this up later on in the week. Some of you saw our Wired email newsletter go out. That, if you can't read it, that's right, tiny font. But it says Jeremiah 29:7, that we are called to pray for the peace and prosperity of this city. And if it prospers, you too will prosper, is what God says. Not that we do it to just receive a blessing, but we're called to pray for this city. And so one of my prayers has been that we as a community would just begin praying boldly for our city and for lives to be transformed. And so I encourage you still to this day that this coming weeks, we're gonna have this. This is on our North Campus as you walk out just directly across the street. I encourage you to go and just walk around that area, praying for our city and praying that God would use Wilshire to spread his love and just peace and prosperity in the city. And so if you do that, would you just each time you walk around, do a little check mark and let us know that you did it? Or if you can't, if you can just pray from home, that you would send us an email. I don't know if we have it on the screen or not, but iprayed@wilshireav.com. Would you let us, we've been encouraging our people to pray, and if you haven't put it in your phones yet, put it in your phone. Because the only way for us to see God's love happen is by praying. It's neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God is the one who gives the growth. And so if we're crying out to him, then we will see change happen in the city. So would you commit to praying 2 times a day for this church, for this city? And would you let us know that you're doing that? And would you let us know that you're praying? My prayer has been this. I shared it the other Sunday. Just a simple prayer. I've been asking people for my life when they ask, how can I pray for you? That I've been saying, hey, God, I say, ask them, would I just have eyes wide open? Eyes wide open to hear God's spirit and to move and to do what he says to do. So I've been praying that prayer. I've been praying that prayer. And a few Sundays ago, I'm just praying. And so just walking through our church halls here, a man had wandered in, a homeless man, and I just kind of felt like it was so interesting. I had to come back. I forgot my keys, and I went to the office, and I just saw him, and I said, can I help you? And I sensed God wanted me to talk to him. And because in my mind, I was like, man, I got to go home, watch the football game, you know, like, I don't want to kind of get in a long conversation. But then I just see it in his eyes. And I heard God say, you need to talk to this man. And he just says, I'm lost. I've blown it. My family's abandoned me. I've been doing meth for a long time, and I'm just lost. And so I just sat down and got to tell the story of another passage in that Luke 15 of a man who disowned his family. And yet the father comes running to him and embraces him and loves him. And so I got to share that, and this man got to accept the Lord that day and said, I want to put my faith, I want to put my trust in him. You know, it's so interesting. This isn't to share, look how great I am, because for years, sometimes I wouldn't want to talk to strangers, and I wasn't risking. But you want to know what I was doing in my office 2 seconds before that? I got an email, and it was a little video, how to share the gospel. I watched a video 2 minutes earlier, how to lead someone to God. You think that's a coincidence? I don't. So I'm watching this, and then I walk out of my office. Can I help you? Yes. Oh, okay, let me just share with you what I just saw 2 seconds ago. My prayer has been that I would have eyes wide open. How are we as a community? Would we just have our eyes wide open? And sometimes it isn't always fully leading somebody to Christ, but it's sharing just a seed and hope of love. Amir, can I call you up here? Amir is our worship leader. And just so much, so often, just a positive word can go a long way. And Amir's kind of got a little story that I would just love for you to share, Amir. Nope, there we go.
Boom, boom. All right. Well, hey, I just want to share a little bit of my story growing up. I was 11 years old, and, you know, when you're 11, grow up in a Christian family, go to youth group, right? So I'm in youth group, and I kind of grew up in a little bit of a big church. You guys might know it's called Eastside. But and I grew up in this church, and we had a pretty big youth group. So, you know, we were pretty blessed to have some cool resources, and one of them was just this really awesome worship band. And the band kind of consisted of, I don't know, guys in their, like, mid-20s probably. So I'm 11. I'm like, oh, man, these guys, they probably worked their way up, like, over the years. Like who am I? But I for some reason, I had this passion and kind of a confidence that I think I look back now, and I'm like, that was totally God, because I wouldn't just go up to a couple 25-year-olds and be like, hey, mister, can I play in the church? Like, I think my voice was cracking right around then, too, yeah, so it seems about right. But, but yeah, so I don't know where it came from, but this confidence came in me just to talk to the worship leader. His name is Matt, and I was like, hey, is this at all possible? Like, I just want to get involved. Like, I want to, like, tie your shoes. I want to, like, tune your strings. Like, I want to be on here. And I'll have to be honest, like, I don't know if I had the greatest motivations at first, but I think God used that opportunity for me to grow and be shaped by that. But kind of the thing I was talking to Rob about is it took one yes. When Matt, he said yes, he could have said no. Like, I had no reason to expect an 11-year-old like me to be on that stage. There's a bunch of 25-year-old guys and girls on there. Like, they're leading. So, like, who am I to think, like, I get the opportunity to lead and be a part of that? But he said yes. And it's that one yes that's really kind of shaped my life. Not just as a worship leader. Yes, I get the opportunity to lead. But really my faith, my voice, my heart, who I am, like, the kind of relationship that I have with Jesus started from that one yes. And he had the opportunity to say no. And it wouldn't have even been wrong of him to say no, but I think he really felt God calling on him. Just, and he has no, I need to call him up, because I don't even think he realizes, like, the weight of what he's done in my life. And so I just, as Rob was kind of inviting me to share this, that's just my encouragement for you guys. Like, don't hold back that yes that you kind of are wrestling with in your heart. Say yes to someone. Invest in someone's life, because you don't even realize the 30, the 60, the 100 times that it goes over. This is so much bigger than, for me, you know, it's so much bigger than just, you know, playing guitar and singing. This is investing in people's hearts and people's lives. And so that's just a little bit of my story, and I'm just so thankful for Matt and mentors like that really poured into me and gave me the story that I have today. Yeah. So use your story, invest in other people's lives.
Thanks, Amir. Thanks, Amir. Just that one simple, you know what? Here's an 11-year-old kid. You know what? The squeaky little cracked voice, as Amir is joking. And these guys said, yes. I see something in you. I see value in you. That one is eternally important. And so pouring into that one, and I mean, just being blessed, this church has been blessed by Amir's leadership and him pastoring us in worship and song. If Matt and those guys didn't say yes, we wouldn't have that blessing we have here today. And so where can you in your life encourage other people? Where can you invest in other people? I heard this week, I was challenged by some friends and other pastors. We all have bucket lists, right? And one of my bucket lists for years, I got to finally do, it was like climb the top of Half Dome. And it was just like, yes. And it feels so good when you check off a bucket list. But what about kingdom bucket lists? What about people's lives being changed? I encourage you, if you have notes today, that maybe you would write a few names. Make a bucket list of people that you want to know about God's love. Maybe what about a bucket list for our city? And maybe some people and for our city, that lives would be changed in our city, that homelessness would be addressed. Children, orphans, that we would have hope that those that are living in poverty, we would see things being changed in our city. What if we had a prayer bucket list for these types of things? The last point is this, that the return is worth the risk of temporary loss. The return is worth the risk of temporary loss. Sometimes when we're praying that prayer, God, would you just open my eyes just to share, or would you open my eyes to how your Spirit's moving, and just to simply say yes to people and invest in them. But do you ever, kind of like me on the way back from the airport, the windows are down, it's windy, it's too noisy, it's not the time. Or this isn't the time, that person, they're going through this or that, maybe I don't wanna pray for them. Here's another story that came out of our community. Somebody was sharing, they were sitting down at a restaurant in a bar, and they asked the waitress, can I pray for you? I feel like God's calling me to pray for you. And the waitress responds, she just says, yeah, thanks, you can pray for my health. And so he's like, great, health, general, you know, real basic, okay. She was just kind of blowing me off. So he's like, fine, I just felt like God told me to do that. So the next day, him and a friend, they're back at the same place, and the waitress comes up to him and says, you know what? I want to tell you, you just asking to pray for me yesterday made a huge impact in my life. I have some health issues, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm going through this. And she just began to unfold and unveil everything that was in her life. And she was just saying, that simple question, would you pray for me, changed my whole day. Now, I don't know the rest of that story, but just that simple listening to God's Spirit and saying, can I pray for you? And sometimes we might just think people are brushing us off. We have no idea the impact we can make. We make excuses. And it was so interesting. After was sharing the, led that guy to the Lord and sharing, and we were talking about it, and he became a Christian. You know, as I was going on, I'm like, well, I'm sharing it, and actually with my brother. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, well, you know, well, who knows if he ever gets off meth and these things, or if it really pans out. And he kind of stopped me and be like, don't do that. Why do we make excuses? Our job is to cast the seeds. It is to not discriminate. You know what's so interesting about this passage? In all four of these stories in the Gospels, it doesn't say anything about doing anything to the soil beforehand. In agricultural days, you know when they would plant seed? When? Right after it would rain. Why? Because the soil would be soft. The soil would be ready to receive it. Yet this passage doesn't say anything about that. Well, is it a bad investment? No. Because 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. We are called to share God's love, whether the season is ripe and it's ready, or maybe it's not even the right time, but man, I feel like God's telling me to share his love with you, and this might be the time. Maybe it's just inviting somebody to church. Maybe it's simply a Facebook post checking in saying, hey, I'm at Wilshire, and so some of your friends can see and later on talk about it. Maybe it's just sharing with your coworkers what God has been doing in your life. But it won't happen if we aren't praying for that. If we aren't praying for change to take place in people's lives and in this city. So my ask this morning is, would you begin to maybe take some bold risks, to invest in others, even when it seems like a terrible investment, and that you might trust that it's a far better investment than investing in Amazon from the very beginning. Kingdom investments that have fruit 30, 60, 100,000, a million times of that original investment. Would you maybe make a bucket list? Would you share with others God's hope and love in your life? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you took the greatest risk, that you sent your Son to come down and to die for us. Lord, that invitation is for all those who believe and trust that they, although we will die, we will live again. Lord, you sacrificed it all on the cross so that we could have life. Lord, many might look at that as a terrible investment because many will walk away from that. Many will hear and not really accept it in their hearts. But Lord, maybe you're working on some of our hearts this morning. And Lord, maybe this morning some of us might pray with me. Lord, I hear your word. I'm tired of living for myself. I want to live for you. I want to not only invest in your kingdom, I want to invest in others' lives. I want to make a difference in this life, Lord. I don't want to just keep living on my own. Help me to trust you. Lord, help us all to take little steps of accepting your word and actually acting on it, producing fruit. Lord, may we be a community that continues to share your love in this city in tangible and spiritual ways, Lord, that they may come to know your hope and your love in this city. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.